Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Welcome back, Spirituality What? Listeners, we are here with part two of the two-part episode about ecstatic dance as spiritual beings with Malaika Mavina Darville. And today we're going to talk a lot more about what ecstatic dance actually is and what makes ecstatic dance different from other types of dance. We're going to talk a little bit about contact dance. We're going to get Malaika's interesting and saddening thoughts on how we lost our connection to dance in Western cultures. And we're going to hear a ton about the upcoming workshops that she has this summer in Bali. Let's dig into it.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned a ton of really awesome things. And I have one sort of kind of generic question, and then we'll get to another question that I have. But you've talked a lot about ecstatic dance. You talked a little bit about going back to Bali and putting your sort of spiritual spin on an ecstatic dance community that already existed there. Can you describe what, or tell us what ecstatic dance is, what your spiritual spin is, and kind of how all of that is different from like what somebody in the Western world would consider dance?
Right. Okay. So one of the most important things with ecstatic dance is it's a non-judgmental space. And I just find this quote that I wrote down the other day. No breakthrough happens with more judgment.
So, oh, man, that's a good one.
That's a really good one, right? No breakthroughs are going to happen with more self-judgment. So part of this Western culture, I feel like the consumer capitalistic model is preying on people's low self-worth and their fear of what does others think of me. Mm-hmm. So dance, you know, we see dance in music videos, these like epic bodies that are doing all kinds of amazing Michael Jackson moves all in unison, mm-hmm. and they're kicking their legs up to their heads, and I could never do that. I like watching it.
So I can't dance.
So I can't dance. Or, you know, then the, you know, that thing of like, or dance, it's with a partner and I have to like, you know, learn certain moves and choreographies, mm-hmm. and I've got to dance with this partner in this certain way. And there's a choreographed specific expectation of what I should know in order to do that. And I don't know that. And I feel too uncomfortable to go to a dance class to learn it. So I cannot dance with another partner. You know, I can't have that experience of dancing with a partner. So the difference of ecstatic dance is it's a free space. It's a free space for free expression with whatever you are coming with to the dance floor, with conscious agreements to respect the space and respect mm-hmm. each other within that space. And we give guidelines within that space at the beginning. So one, there's no talking on the dance floor. And for some people, that's like, at first it can be uncomfortable because we're so used to going into our logic mind of like, so, hey, where do you come from? You know, and like starting a stupid, irrelevant conversation with someone just to break the ice, to get to know them or to dance with them or whatever. Or, hey, may I have this dance with you or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Versus you come into a space with 200 people and everybody is on the same page. You know, we're all agree that we're not going to talk on this in this space. We're just here to dance. We're just here to move our bodies. So you might find people, you know, rolling around on the dance floor, doing somatic movement, doing, you know, maybe what looks like some kind of yoga practice, like stretching their body. You might find people curled up in a ball, laying on the floor, sobbing, you know, because they're going through something and they brought that to the dance floor. They're going through grief. They just lost someone. And then eventually they transform that, those tears and that sobbing into the dance when the music mm-hmm. like grabs their soul and they have, you know, they can't resist but to start moving their body. And you might find someone, you know, shaking because they're, you know, suddenly some trauma that's trapped in the tissues has been triggered, and suddenly they're shaking. You might find people doing contact dance, which to you the first time seeing it might look like, oh my God, are these two people like trying to have dry sex on the dance floor? Like, what are they doing? You know,
gotcha.
Well, contact dance is another contemporary dance form that evolved out of our need for non-choreographed, spontaneous, in the moment, how do two bodies come together and move with this constant connection. And I use contact dance in my trainings with the water element, because water doesn't, you know, you don't see two raindrops rolling down the window and they like, oh, excuse me, and they move out of the way. And then, you know, one finds its own path. They will merge. They
generally come together, yeah.
They will come together, you know. A river doesn't like, you know, run down to the ocean and then say, oh, sorry, that's the ocean, I'll just stop here then. No, it flows into the ocean, you know. So I use that. We are what, you know, when we're born, we're like we're grown in water, 100% water. When we're, you know, or 99% water. And then when we're born, you know, we're about 88 to 89% water. And as our life goes on, we become less and less water as we become, you know, dry and more brittle, more vata, more air as we become older in the body. But we are water beings. We're mostly water beings because we're on a mostly water planet. So I use that contact dance, you know, of that. So that you'll see, you know, it depends who's DJing and also the community and how evolved or their dance practices have become. But you might see contact dance happening on the dance floor. Okay. Two people just spontaneously in this intertwined, interconnected dance, you know, lifting each other, turning each other upside down. There's no choreography. Again, there's guidelines that they may have learned. So if you don't understand contact dance, it's good to go and learn some contact dance before getting into it. It's not about trying to hook up with people. So, you know, we try and like address that on the dance floor. That's not what this space is about. It is about community coming together to share a practice where we're expressing self-expression. Anything goes as long as we respect the boundaries of other within this space.
Yeah.
And, you know, generally can be anywhere from 2 hours to, you know, or an hour and a half to 2 hours. And there should be a wave within that dance, you know, so you'll go through like different emotions, different genres of music.
It's like a little bit of a journey.
Yeah. And it takes you on a journey. So, and, you know, then you generally, you know, in the peak and the fire are having this experience of ecstasy, you know, that's what it's, and what it does is it allows us to unwind from the inside out, which again, you know, we're living on such an incredibly traumatized planet. And because we are all one, what's happening in the Middle East is that, you know, we're all feeling that, you know, and what can tend to happen is we can then go into disempowered hopelessness. There's nothing I can do. And yet, if we really harness our consciousness, you know, coming back to the spirituality, we harness that spiritual part of ourselves, the power of our intention. So you can go, like I many times during COVID would go to our dance floor, either I was DJing and I was creating sets that were intentionally allowing people to release fear because it was such a fear smorgasbord of fear buffet being served to everybody. So I would consciously create a set, or I would consciously, when I was dancing, transmute some of the fear that was on the planet back into joy, liberation, freedom, and awareness, you know, and waking up. So you can, that's something you can do. So you can start to utilize these practices as that. And then it's a community-based thing. So, you know, it's like expect to meet new friends. Expect to bring your weird out, and who cares? Like at first, when it's so funny.
Absolutely.
When you see new people, you know, come in and they're just kind of like, oh, this is weird. Oh my God, look at all these weird people. Look what they're doing. Because they're so self-conscious that they think that everybody's looking at them and they're looking at everybody in that way, you know, because they, you know, unconsciously, what we do to others is what we're doing to ourselves. So all the projections that they're putting out there of like, oh my God, look at that weirdo. Oh my God, look at that person. Oh my God, look at that. Because they think that that's what everybody is doing to them. And then somewhere in the dance, they suddenly realize like, oh.
No one's doing
no
that.
No one actually gives a shit what I'm doing right now except for me. Yep. And, you know, if the music's good, you know, when they finally have that experience of letting go, wow, that's like a big jump in your whole evolution, you know, like it's a really big jump of going, wow, because ultimately in the world, we're also accustomed to thinking that everybody cares what we're doing, but really no one,
they're not
no
even
one cares.
Yeah,
everyone's so busy with their own selves and their own little expression of
worlds,
what they're doing,
yep,
and their own,
yeah,
little world and their own little bubbles that they're in. They don't have time to worry about what you're doing with yours. So,
exactly.
so give it your all, you know, give it your all. And the more you put,
yep,
into it, the more you get out of it. So,
yeah,
it's a wonderful practice.
It sounds to me just like how when you go to a concert, just people dance just kind of on their own, you know, it sounds similar, maybe not quite as spiritual, but I have kind of an interesting question and I think you've sort of answered it, but I want to kind of summarize it. So I hear you said in the beginning that a lot of the Native and Aboriginal communities around the world have dance as an integral part of their societies still, and that in the Western world, kind of, we don't. And I'm curious about whether what your thoughts are on how we either lost dance or how it is that there are some societies that just don't have dance as an integral part of their nature. Is that, I have sort of two thought processes, which is like, we never really had it because we're a little bit different, but then we're all one, so that doesn't really jive. But then we've got this shame and guilt and fear, and you brought those up, which are very like human embodiments, human, you know, emotions in this world. And so do we lose the spiritual connection with dance because of this human body, or like, what does that make sense? What I'm asking, like, what is your thought on that?
So, lest we forget, you know, that most Western people, our roots, you know, I'm a root person. I always like to take people back to the roots. When I do healing, I take people back to the root cause, because you can cut the weed off at the top, but you can never get to, if you don't pull
exactly
the root out, it's going to just grow back. It's going to manifest in another form or another generation. It's transgenerational trauma. We see it all the time with people whose ancestors who have been persecuted, and then the manifestation comes out in the next generation.
Future generations, yep.
Yes. So the root, lest we forget, we go back to the dark ages in Europe, where over 9 million people, 9 million, that's more than, you know, some countries had, women mostly, and men who were aligned with the goddess practices, were brutally murdered and erased from culture and society for doing exactly that, dancing around the maypole. You know, you come from England. All of these, you know, you have to go back that all of the cultures had a pagan root that danced under the stars and around the moon and on the earth, and danced was a part of the ceremonies. And then, you know, through that brutal cleansing, what they called, you know, the cleansing of this of that pagan nature, you know, if your grandmother's head was chopped off because she was the one leading that dance, or because she was caught being in one of those ceremonies, you, as that next generation, are not exactly going to feel safe going out.
That's
to
true.
Go dancing and expressing yourself, you know. So, and then, you know, you're going to teach your children, when you see them, you know, moving their bodies too much, be still, because, you know, with the, you know, there's a fear that's left in the tissues of the consequences of dance equals beheading, dance equals burning at the stake, dance equals jumping off a cliff and drowning in the ocean, dance equals persecution. So, you know, it's very strong in the collective psyche of Western people, because most of them come from Europe.
Yeah.
And they come from that era. So, and then, you know, also the great religions, you know, most of the religions that also evolved and were sweeping the planet at that time also then brought in this whole, was somehow not sacred, somehow not in divine alignment, somehow was evil or dirty, or, you know, all these kind of like,
it doesn't follow these rules of this religion.
And so it became, you know, again, persecuted. And so if you saw yourself as a good person, and then your religion is telling you that if you do this activity, you know, you are far from being a good person, So then again, plant the seed of that, you know, dance equals not being good, or I'm not I'm evil, or I'm, you know, worshiping the devil, you know, God forbid, or, you know, whatever, yeah. I'm sinful, it's sinful. You know, the same with our sexuality, because, sure. you know, our sexuality is definitely connected to these rituals, you know? Like if we look at the origins of these, some of our modern day ceremonies that we do, they have a root that is in a very different
Absolutely.
Orientation to what yes. these ceremonies used to be, you know?
I would say almost all of them are yeah. very, very different.
And, yeah. you know, we just see these watered down versions of what the original ceremony was about, and out of fear, they were blasted out of existence.
I think it's very interesting, your perspective. I love that we talked about that, because I'm just thinking, like, we did that. Humans did that. Like we sucked the life out of dance for mm-hmm. some people, for religion, for some societies and some communities. And that's, I mean, I love dancing both in sort of a structured fashion, but also just dancing my face off at like a concert and mm-hmm. not giving two flying fucks what other people mm-hmm. around me think, mm-hmm. you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's really very liberating. Mm-hmm. So you've talked a little bit about your dance activation and your women's program. Can you talk a little bit about what you have coming up this year and what's on the horizon for you?
Okay, so I will be going back to Bali in May to run my signature retreat, which is Elemental Embodiment Immersion. So it's an immersive training come embodiment practices just for women to reclaim the potency of their creative life force energy in the womb. We do a lot of dance. I bring in the African dance with my five drummers that come in and play for it. We do a lot of the processes that I've developed to help to once and for all transform and transmute any limiting beliefs that might be still stored in the tissues of the body. Yeah, a lot of practices to really reconnect with the earth. And that is happening on May the 12th to the 18th. And awesome. It's an application process. So I just make sure that everybody's like on the same page,
yep.
is ready, you know, have done a little bit of their spiritual work already so that they're not just kind of thrown into the deep end. And,
oh, sure.
Yeah. And it's basically designed for women to reclaim and resurrect their essential feminine nature, you know,
awesome. Yeah.
while reconnecting. And, you know, I've just found that the power, as I said before, the power of ceremony and community, like-minded sisters from all walks of life coming together is so powerful healing medicine that's desperately needed, in our over masculinized world today.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
So bringing women together for this collective transformation is so potent and so powerful and is life transforming. And, you know, I'm still in, you know, we start a group that we continue to communicate with each other in. And I receive messages from people who did it back in 2017 and 2015, and we're still in communication.
Oh, very
cool. So it's really like bonding. You'll make friends. You know, I love it because I receive messages from women who met during my immersion, and
yeah.
then they'll show a picture of them in France, and they're running a retreat together, or they're running they're running their own thing, and they're doing it together, or you know,
That's
look who
cool.
I bumped into in Portugal, and we're doing this together. And you make friends for life because it goes so deep that we become like family. And,
awesome.
Yeah. And for me, you know, it's what life is, what gives meaning and purpose and joy to life is this, you know,
Absolutely.
You can be in the most beautiful place, but if you haven't got people to connect to, then it doesn't really have that same, potency. So
yeah.
coming to Bali, we get to experience Mama Bali. She's so beautiful and nurturing just in herself. Again, I've chosen, you know, my venue that I've been using for 7 years. That's right on the ocean. So you're hearing the
awesome.
Sound of the ocean. We wake up every morning to watch the sunrise. So it's like training your body to have healthy personal practices. And, you know, how often do you get to watch the sunrise out of the ocean and witness this, like, you know, painting of this incredible work of art across the blue sky every single day is a new masterpiece, you know, that we missed.
I'm like, I live in the mountains, so I don't get to see the ocean, the sunrise over the ocean, like, ever.
Exactly, exactly. You know, because some people do complain of like, what, you're going to make us get up at 6 a.m.? And I'm like, yeah, it's like gorgeous. The bomb. It's the bomb. Like, once you get over that and you see this and then you swim in this tranquil, like, beautiful, lukewarm, incredible ocean, and just like start your day like that, you just feel rejuvenated. It's rejuvenating. So, you know, and then we move into, you know, yoga practices that are designed for the feminine body, not, you know, Ashtanga and these masculine practices that were developed by men. But, you know, my practice is very much somatic. It comes from a place of deep, deep listening to my womb. And every time it's going to be different because my cycle is in a different place. And I'm listening, and I'm listening to the group and what they need. So, you know, the practices change in the morning. Sometimes we dance. Sometimes we do a yoga nidra or a restorative yoga, or sometimes we'll do a yin yoga or a dance practice, or, you know, different things. So it, and then the day flows throughout an embodiment of each of the elements in a somatic way. So that's coming up. Yeah, that's in May. And it's, again, by application only. So you can apply for that online now.
And then we'll include a link. We'll include a link in the show notes too. For
sure. Yeah. And then in July, I'm offering my last ecstatic dance DJ training in Bali, because I feel like I'm probably going to be moving from Bali and moving over to this side of the world to be closer to family. I've been doing this since 2015, and it's for anyone who's feeling the call to be a leader, you know? Like, if you want to be a leader, but you want to move, find something that's alternative that you can lead with in a way, you know, be the founder of and you want to learn how to DJ for this ecstatic dance experience using the wisdom and the map that I have inside of me that I give as a transmission to you within the space. And so, again, you make friends for life. You get to also have, you know, I only open it up to maximum 18 participants, so that
it's pretty intimate.
Very intimate. It's not like this giant group of people and your needs don't get met. Your needs get met. My co-facilitator and assistant, her name is, her DJ name is Wild Honey. She's like freaking the bomb, amazing. Oh. She teaches her own embodied dance practice of ethereal fusions, which is a form of body locking, tribal belly dance. So we'll be learning some of that in our practices, as well as the DJing, as well as all of the things that are required for you to feel confident enough to step into that role of going, right, I got this. And which includes then you actually hosting your own with feedback from your peers. And again, done in paradise. Again, I make you get up at 6 a.m. every morning to start your day. And again, you know, I like to, you know, for me, for myself, what keeps me on track and what's kept me, you know, I'm going to be 60 this year. So what's kept me.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And what's kept me going and, you know, with this phenomenal amount of energy is my practices. So I also teach those practices of like going, you know, you're young now, and if you want to lead this fulfilled and embodied life into your elder years and still be able to dance just like any of the younger people on the dance floor, you gotta keep this embodiment practices up for yourself. So the whole, there's a really beautiful combination of the masculine structure of learning, of focus, attention, practical tools, you know, learning all these practical tools in a very structured way. And then it's balanced with the more yin and feminine practices of the embodiment practices, the practicals of facilitating within smaller groups, of, you know, utilizing your voice, of commands, and, you know, all these kinds of things that you need to know how to do within that space. So that's coming up on July the 4th. Firecrackers going off. You're about to step on your path, become a new you, a new version of you, and release any any inhibitions that you might have about being able to do it. Then it finishes on the 18th of July. So it's a 2-week live-in, all inclusive.
Oh, cool.
So we have beautiful meals. It's all vegetarian. So we kind of use it as a detox time too.
Perfect.
A digital detox time, a time to really focus on your path and what you are creating for yourself, a life purpose training. So it could be, you know, even people who are, you're already doing yoga, but you want to bring music into your thing and you want to learn how to, you know, create seamless sets to take people on a deeper yoga journey. Like it could be for that, or breath work, or, you know, you want to, you know, So that's really a teaching one. That's a straight up 2 weeks taking you from beginner to holding your first ecstatic dance. And
awesome.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like absolutely amazing. It's so much fun. Again, you're going to meet friends for life. You're going to be set up for life. It's, you know, you're going to be awakening your creative potential because it's not a cookie cutter. You know, this is the routine. This is what you do.
Totally.
It's like, it's really digging into your particular creative flavor and in all senses of the word. Yeah, joy, music, you know, dancing around the fire. Everything for me is really, again, goes back to that root, goes back to the integrity of honoring those roots and bringing
the
that
intention,
in. And how do we bring that into our modern day? So we're bringing in those prayers and bringing in those intentions, as well as bringing in like kick-ass electronic music and you know, yeah, like really getting down. I love good music. I'm not afraid to turn the bass up and get people rocking with really, really, really powerful music and utilizing that. There's so much good music out there now. So,
totally.
So, you know, I utilize that. I'm not against the modern world by any stretch of the mark. I just want to direct it in a way that is regenerative on all levels.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, has been an absolute pleasure, Malaika. So just really quickly, how can people, you have a website which we'll link, but is there any other way that people can get in contact you or find out about what it is that you're doing?
Yes. Yeah, I was just going to say for those, you know, live at home moms, you know, or people who at this stage you're not able to travel, I do have online courses on my website, both for the Sacred Cacao Ceremonial Training and for the Wild Women Awakening, which is a great transformational journey. It comes in two parts, and you can get the whole package online.
Very cool.
So you can get all of it online and do it at your own pace from the comfort of your own home or when your kids are asleep, and you know, bring these ceremonies and practices to life in your own community where you live. So that is online. My website is www.inmyelements.com.
Yep.
It's elements with an S.
Yep.
And on there you'll see my Instagram handle is malaika.darville. That's darville. And you can find me on there. You can send me private messages. You can send me messages in Facebook. I'm inmyelements.com on Facebook. I'm Malaika Darville on Facebook as well. You can find me there. I do one-on-one private coaching sessions to help with purpose and help people to get on their spiritual path. Like people who are, they've tried therapy, they've tried this, they've tried that. And I do use somatic, I call it kind of somatic therapeutic spiritual awakening practices to help people get embodied. So all of that, you can find it all on my website.
Awesome.
And I'm also a phantom tree planter.
Yes.
You know, I weave that into everything I do. And so I also have, if any of this just sounds like great to you, but not up your alley, because I know that what I do is not for everyone, but maybe you like what I say or you like what I'm doing, you can sponsor a tree. And 100% of those donations goes to buying trees. So wherever I am, like I just was planting cacao trees here in Mexico, and that's my plant it forward. That's my not-for-profit part of my business. And that's the way in yoga they call your seva, where you're giving back, you know, I don't charge money for my seed saving workshops. I just educate and share that wisdom and knowledge freely and widely because I want to see the earth again, I want to see it be a dancing planet in the Garden of Eden. And I want to see everyone return back to that. And I want to see food growing everywhere. And I want children to remember that fruit grows on trees. And dance and music is part of their bodies. And in order to dance freely and happily, you need to have good living food in your body. So it's all interconnected. And I'm an interconnected being. So that's what I like to teach.
So. Well, this was absolutely a genuine pleasure. Thank you so much, Malaika. We'll include all those links in the show notes for sure. We really appreciate you having you on today.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. And spirituality, what? Or spirituality, what? Come on. Let's do it. Let's do it. And thank you very, very much for having me. It's been my pleasure as well.
And there you have it, awesome human being listeners of the Spirituality Podcast. That wraps us up for our two-part episode with Malaika and Dance. If you liked this episode, please go ahead and follow me on your favorite listening platform. Please also reach out on Instagram if you have thoughts or ideas about other people you would like to hear from or topics you'd like me to investigate. I'm having a great time doing this podcast and would love to give you more content that you're interested. See you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.